All right. Welcome once again to Black Hawk Church. Welcome to those of you live here in the room with me and those of you watching on a screen somewhere, whether you are worshiping in one of our other sites and venues, Black Hawk Downtown, Fitchburg, the Gallery of Traditions, or you're watching the message online. My name is Ben, and I'm the pastor of Middle School Ministries here at Black Hawk. In Middle School Ministries, we just wrapped up a summer of Madison Missions where we had 300, I hear some woohoos in the room. There you go. I've seen some handsome t-shirts this morning. So we had 330 middle school students who each gave a week of their summer to serve right here in their own backyards and be the hands and feet of Jesus in partnership with some great organizations right here in Madison. Here on Sundays, we just wrapped up a three-week sermon series that we called Heart, Head, Hands, where we talked about engaging our full selves for spiritual growth, our emotions, our mind, and our efforts. And today we're jumping back into our summer series in the book of Psalms, the Psalms mixtape series. So we have these journals that did continue through that spiritual growth series. And if you're reading along in the Psalms with us this summer, we're at Psalm 90 today. You can pick up if you've left off at some point and join us. And our heart for this series as teachers is to share some psalms that have anchored our prayer lives through the years. So this is kind of out of the ordinary for us as teachers. There's a bit of an autobiographical invitation here. Like what psalm has been meaningful or special to you in your own prayer life? And so for me, it's a pretty easy choice to talk about Psalm 67 today. It's a psalm about our global God and his heart for the world. Now, in order to kind of understand why I want to talk about this psalm, it helps to kind of hear a bit of my personal story. So I started walking with Jesus as a freshman at college at UW here in town. I was heavily involved in a campus ministry, and it was the first time in my life that my heart, head, and hands were all engaged. Like I was in a small group of guys for the first time, and I was studying the Bible for the first time, really praying for the first time in my life, and learning for the first time about the power of the Holy Spirit to transform me. And I was just experiencing this abundant life that Jesus talks about. And I caught the bug from the very beginning of my involvement with this campus ministry that God's heart is for all people everywhere to have this kind of relationship with him. His heart was for everyone on our college campus and really everyone in the whole world. And so in those years, the pursuit of like the American dream, you know, like 2.5 kids and success at work and some nice things and a nice house, like it kind of lost its luster for me in that time because being about God's mission just seemed way more compelling to me. So my wife Megan and I ended up pursuing the road less traveled, you could say. We ended up serving overseas in youth ministry in Madrid, Spain. La vida de la ciudad, las fruterías del barrio, los campos de fútbol. Life was really good there. Youth ministry was great. Loved it there, but over time it became clear that our son had special needs, and eventually he was diagnosed with autism. And so, in order to do life properly, we needed to move back to Wisconsin for the family support that was available for us here and therapy services that are here that weren't available at the time there. And so, I lamented the death of my dream of that life overseas. And now I have 2.5 kids, give or take. Success at work, some nice things, a nice house. And I like all of it. Like I've come to find out it's not all just like soul-sucking consumerism. I feel useful and even artistic when I mow my lawn well. Like the shirt says hipster, but my heart is suburban. So this is. And another thing that has changed in my life is that I like My expectations of the abundant life that Jesus offers have dropped pretty dramatically through the years, because life can be pretty hard, right? I don't have anywhere near the confidence that I had in my prayer life half a lifetime ago. And whereas at 19, I was confident that the Spirit of God could remake me into the image of Christ. At 36, now I am confident that there will always be a part of me who is a cocky, insecure jerk. So, sorry, if you don't know me well, it's just reality. So I've been through different seasons of life. And Psalm 67 has been an anchor for me through some of those seasons. In some seasons, it's helped me to pursue God's invitation for the world. And in other seasons, it has refocused my vision in the midst of the daily grind. It reminded me that I'm a part of something bigger than myself and that God's heart is for the whole world. And I imagine that for each one of us, whatever season we're in today, this psalm has something for us. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 67. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. The text is going to be on the screens for today. I'm going to read through the psalm, and we're going to try and listen to this psalm through two sets of ears. The ears of God's people and the ears of their neighbors, the neighboring nations. So I'm going to read through the psalm, and then we'll consider what it sounds like to those two sets of ears. Here we go. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. And may God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Okay, that's Psalm 67. And we want to hear this psalm, remember, through two sets of ears. Right off the bat, with our first set of ears on, with the ears of God's people, the first thing an ancient Hebrew audience would have heard in this psalm is an echo. Verse 1 of this psalm echoes the most famous blessing in the Old Testament, a blessing from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Here it is. And when you see all capital letters L-O-R-D in our Bible, that's the English translator's way of rendering the Old Testament name for God, which is Yahweh. And so it says, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, the oldest artifact that archaeologists have discovered containing biblical text on it is a tiny silver scroll from about 600 years before Christ. And the biblical text on that artifact is this blessing from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. It's a nice little blessing. I mean, no wonder they put it on these little silver amulets. You could just imagine someone wearing that kind of text on a necklace if you could afford that kind of thing as an ancient Hebrew. You could even, like, twist this blessing and misuse it for selfish purposes, right? To be kind of like an ancient version of our American dream. Like, may Yahweh give you success and some nice things and a nice quiet life, right? And Psalm 67, the first verse, is a clear echo of this most famous Old Testament blessing. Here it is. You see that? Be gracious to us, straight from the blessing. Bless us. Make his face. Three clear echoes from Numbers chapter 6. But then the psalmist goes on to give a reason for this blessing. Like, why? Why would the Creator God of the universe bless his people. And this is the reason the psalmist gives. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation or your rescue among all nations. This is the truth that the psalmist wants his people to understand, that God's blessing to his people is actually about all people. And so the challenge, as we hear this psalm with the ears of God's people, is it's almost like the psalmist saying, hey, if you want to wear that necklace with a nice little saying on it or something, FYI, you should know that God's blessing to you is not about your dreams. Sorry to burst your bubble there, but it's about God's dream, his vision for the whole earth to know him, experience a relationship with him, and not just some nice things in a nice, quiet life. So through the years of God's people, this psalm challenges us to think about his blessings in our life differently. And then through the ears of the neighboring nations. This is a psalm that a quick study reveals that it was meant to be heard by these two separate audiences. And we find quickly that God comes to the people from those neighboring nations on their terms. He wants to speak to them in language that they can understand. And we find this in at least three ways in this psalm. First way, the psalmist uses common religious terminology. He calls God by this generic term, God. Rather than using Yahweh from Numbers or many other psalms, he uses the term that the neighboring nations could hear and understand. Second thing, he adopts the neighboring nation's view of blessing, because as human beings, we're naturally wired to think about divine blessings in terms of, well, success and some nice things and a nice quiet life. And in the ancient world, nowhere was that more apparent than in the realm of agriculture. And so in verse 6, the psalmist picks up on that. The land yields its harvest. And you as a farmer may have cultivated the land, but you cannot take credit for making the wheat grow. God, our God, blesses us still. Second way that the psalmist speaks to the neighboring nations, he adopts their view of blessing. And third way, right at the heart of this psalm, he provides the neighboring nations with a compelling reason to turn to this God. Like, why would they turn to this God, right? They already have their own God, so why should they consider this God? Verse 4 says, may the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity. And you, God, guide or shepherd the nations of the earth. Oh. Nations of the earth, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a capricious ruler? A capricious king or god? The creator God of the universe is not capricious. He rules the peoples with equity. Oh, that sounds nice. Has your king ever subjugated you to his whims to serve his ends? The creator God guides, shepherds the nations of the earth, all nations. The psalm is like God's outcry to the people. Listen, nations of the earth, this is my love, this is my justice and my truth, and I want to give this to you as a gift. Do you want it? And so through the ears of the neighboring nations, we end up hearing the same thing that we heard through the ears of God's people, that God's heart, his desire, is for all people everywhere to know him. And that's Psalm 67. There you go. That didn't take much time. Okay. But what are we supposed to do about it? God's heart is for the whole world. Yay! How does that affect my life? Well, God loves everybody. He loves the person that's sitting next to you, even if they're a cocky, insecure jerk. And he loves the person as far away from you as you can possibly imagine. And that should shape the way we live our lives. It has shaped the lives of a couple of Blackhawkers named Becca and Tom Whitney. This is Tom and Becca and their daughter, Izzy Mae. Here comes the picture. There they are. Look at Izzy Mae. Isn't she cute? And Tom and I go way back. We've known each other for a very long time. We're from the same hometown. And Tom, growing up, he grew up in a non-religious family. In his own words, he grew up thinking that God was a lie and that the church was not a good place. Now, in the summer of 2002, Tom and I were in a musical theater production together in our hometown. Here we are, fresh-faced Charlie Brown and Linus. And so funny, right? Why do I volunteer to show these old pictures of myself? I don't know. I was like, you know, brand new to life with Jesus and real excited about Jesus. And I liked Tom, and Tom didn't have his driver's license yet. So I would volunteer to give him a ride home from rehearsals. And as I had him prisoner in my passenger seat, like I would alternate between small talk and trying to invite him to come to Jesus, right? So he was like so patient with me and polite and privately convinced that I was crazy. And so I kept praying for him. And then 2 years later, I got an email from Tom thanking me for talking with me about Jesus. As he'd actually come to know Christ. He had another friend who had challenged him to consider Jesus. And so he borrowed a Bible and said, all right, I'm going to read through these gospel accounts and I'm going to check this off my box, right? I'm sure Jesus fits in a category that I already have in my mind. And after 2 weeks of reading the gospels over and over again, Jesus didn't fit in any of his boxes. And Tom was left with a hunger for something more with the person of Jesus. And he became a follower of him. And Tom and Becca were baptized here at Black Hawk in 2011. And in the years since then, they've dedicated their lives to sharing the abundant life that Jesus offers with those who've never had a chance to hear about him before. And so to that end, they serve with a ministry called Overland Missions in Angola in southern Africa. Their ministry there is to proclaim the good news, coming to people on their terms, speaking their local language in each place that they go, because that's what God models for us, right? And presenting the gospel in terms that can be understood. And they teach from the Bible, and then they build up local leaders in each place that they go to continue on the work. Becca and Tom are two of over 20 global servants that we support financially as a church here at Black Hawk. A portion of your giving to Black Hawk Church goes to support them and many others like them. And I got a chance to chat with them recently with the best internet connection that you can get between here and southern Angola, which is to say that the video stream was awful, but we got decent audio. So you're going to hear my voice asking them a question, and then you'll hear Tom and Becca respond in turn.
How did you choose serving in Angola as a career pursuit?
Yeah, we never planned on becoming career occupational missionaries. For a long time, we've had a heart to share who Jesus is with others. But we know that this mission can be accomplished anywhere on the planet. Where there's people, there's a need for the gospel. But for us, our choice of career comes from a burden to be sharing Jesus in places where people have no opportunity to hear about him.
Yeah, our hope is that people know the joy of Jesus Christ. And our particular burden and passion has led us to work with Overland Missions, our organization, and the team that we're on. And actually, we signed up and we didn't know how long it was going to be. But we said, you know what, even if this isn't a perfect fit for us, it's something we believe in and we're doing something we believe in. And we're 5 years in and we can't imagine being anywhere else.
I wanted us to hear Tom and Becca share that piece of their story in their own voice, because in a room this size, in gatherings like Black Hawk, there's a sliver of us who hear Tom and Becca share, and it's like, boom, 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 our hearts get going because we think, like, is this for me? Like, should I pursue cross-cultural ministry? Like, I love Jesus and I want others to know the joy of knowing him. Maybe you're 17, maybe you're midlife, maybe you're an empty nester and you're thinking, like, should I go for it? So if you're in that sliver of our people, awesome. Okay, first, for those of us, a word of warning. Don't pursue a life in cross-cultural ministry just because it sounds cool or it sounds like an adventure, right? So what Tom and Becca do is really cool. And the cross-cultural life is an adventure. But don't go into it just for that. Like, if you're just looking for adventure, like, save up some money and take a really cool vacation. Like, missions organizations just don't need thrill seekers. They need flexible people with soft hearts and a spirit of perseverance. So that's first warning. Second thing, like, as Tom and Becca said, the mission is anywhere. It's everywhere. It's in every office and on every school and university campus and in every neighborhood right here in Dane County. You don't have to go anywhere to talk to people about Jesus and share his love with them. For the past 3 weeks of our serve fair and the volunteer opportunities right here and everything that we're talking about right now for summer share and the shopping list that we can pick up after this service, like this, like, you can do it here. You don't have to go anywhere. But if your heart's like going like this and you love God, you love his word, you love people, and also, like, when you travel, you thrive. Like, you find yourself seeking out experiences with people rather than looking for tourist experiences. Well, then maybe a career in cross-cultural service is worth pursuing. Here's what Tom had to say about this.
If there's even an inkling of a desire to go into international missions, I think you should try it. Looking at sheer numbers, there are a lot of places that have a greater need for Christ-like influence than the USA. And this doesn't mean that these places are more important to go to, but it's definitely something to think about.
You should try it, Tom says. So if you want to try it, if you're looking for an opportunity to test cross-cultural ministry, I highly recommend the Urbana Conference. This is a conference that happens once every 3 years, and the next one is coming up soon, this year in December, after Christmas. The purpose of Urbana is to help you discern your place in God's global mission. Now, I, through the years, have been to a lot of ministry conferences and things like that. And some of them have been good, some of them. Urbana, hands down, best conference, most influential conference I've ever been to. I cannot recommend it highly enough. And there's a discount for college students and grad students as well. So, okay, great. Tom and Becca, Urbana, God's heart is for the whole world. Yippee, I'm not going anywhere, right? That's where many of us, most of us are. You're thinking, like, what does this have to do with me? You heard my story. Like, this is us. Like, in this season of life, we are rooted and we ain't going anywhere. So, like, what does Psalm 67 have to say to those of us who are in that situation? And specifically, what does it have to say to us about our part in God's global mission, right? Like, here at Black Hawk, we talk quite a bit about what it means for us to love our neighbor, our family and friends, our classmates and coworkers, you know, serve in our church and in our community. But do I have a part in God's mission to other continents? Well, in today's world, yeah, you can, and it's worth it. And Psalm 67, invites all of us to this. This is actually a bit of a geeky thing, but did you notice the pronouns in Psalm 67? Let's check this out. Who is speaking in this psalm? Us. First person plural. This is God's people speaking together. This is a communal psalm. It's about our collective responsibility that all of us together, we share in this burden of God's heart for the mission. So for each one of us, what's our part in this? I want to make this as straightforward as possible for us today. I think each one of us can leave today with a verb. We're going to put four verbs up on the screen one at a time, and every one of us can walk out today with a verb that has a simple action step as your first step to get the ball rolling and connecting with God's heart for the world. First verb is the one we already talked about, discern, urbana, and things of that nature. Second verb, if you don't know anybody who's serving in cross-cultural ministry, your verb is pray. Prayer is a great place to start. And when I say pray, I actually mean send an email and then pray. If you send an email to impact@blackhawkchurch.org with a subject line like global prayer list or something like that, our impact team here at Blackhawk will get back to you. They'll put you on our prayer list, a monthly list of requests from global servants like the Whitneys who are serving all over the world. Super simple. If you go on your phone, like right now in whatever room that you're in, and like go on your email app and send this email and ignore me for the next 2 minutes, I am 100% on board with that, okay? It's more important than you listening to what I do for the next 2 minutes. Okay, but let's say you're already praying. You know people who are serving. Your verb is give. You can give financially to the folks that you know who are serving somewhere else in the world. Give to their organizations that have sent them to support their good work. For my wife and I, we're monthly and annual givers to many global servants that we know. The top line of our charitable giving is Black Hawk Church, and then coming in a close second for us are these global servants that we know around the world. Now, if you think you want to give, but you don't know anybody, and so you're not sure where to start, I would actually say, go back one verb and start with prayer. Email the impact list and your heart, I truly believe, will start to be connected with someone who's working somewhere else in the world. And I think really eventually you will be giving because that's just kind of, your heart will be drawn in. Okay, if you're already praying, you're already giving, the verb to you is encourage. Just send a note of encouragement to that person you know who's serving somewhere else in the world. Email and social media are fantastic. And then handwritten cards and letters are like, wow, over the top. And if you want to go even further than that, you can send a care package, like write them a note, say, hey, what's your favorite candy that you can't buy where you live? And if I send it to you, will it melt or will it make it to you? And will it get through customs, right? So but anything, seriously, just a social media message that says, hey, we love you and we're with you and we're so glad that you do what you do. Oh man, that can just make someone's week. So these are the four verbs. And each one of us, seriously, if you want to take a picture of this slide to remember your verb or write down your verb later or on a piece of paper, something, each one of us, this is like getting the ball rolling is super simple. Register for a conference, send an email, go on a website to give, or write that note. Each one of us can take 5 minutes today and get the ball rolling for any one of these four verbs. And the gift of Psalm 67 is that we can do it. If we're on board with God's mission, we can do it regardless of whether we're feeling it, right? Like whatever season of life you're in, whether you are just kind of scraping by or if you're on fire for Jesus, right? Like whatever season of life, you're the gift of Psalm 67 is that it refocuses us and reorients our vision, reminds us of God's heart for the world, that the gospel is the most compelling vision for humanity on planet Earth. Oh yeah, also, it's true. Itinerant preacher from Nazareth got himself executed. Then he rose from the dead. Turns out he was God in the flesh. And like my friend Tom, I can't explain that away. And it has reshaped my life for the better, even on those days when I'm not feeling it. I want everyone in the world to have a chance to hear this news. And we can all play our part. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for coming to us on our terms. Wow. Thank you that we on the opposite side of the globe in a totally different culture and time from when you lived your earthly life, that we know and worship you because of the millions who've come before us that have crossed cultural barriers to share your love with words and actions. We love you. You loved us first. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.